I would like to talk about the results of a divorce on a child that people don't expect. After the separation has occurred and the new life is established with the one parent, there's still a lot of problems that develop. One of those is the child has emotions that are under the surface. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know what to say. They don't have the words for it. But it happened to me. The buildup of unfocused, floating anger became a big problem for me. An example of this was my eruption, literally an eruption, in anger about my mother's haircut. Can you tell me what 8-year-old even cares about his mother's haircut or how she wears her hair? But I overheard Mom and my aunt discussing hairstyles. They eventually agreed that Mom should get her haircut cut short. I stormed into the room shouting in an outburst of fury, "No, no, no! I like my mother's hair long and I want it left alone." They were shocked. They were wide-eyed and stunned. They had never seen me behave that way. They had never heard me talk that way. They had not realized how this simple act on their part seemed to threaten my world. Well, they just didn't understand. The background to this eruption started shortly after Dad left. Mother would come home from work at night, and I would jump in her lap and bury my face in her long hair, and I'd feel her warmth of her hug, and I'd smell the fragrance of her perfume. Mom was home, and it gave me a real secure, very secure feeling. When I was 6 years old, I learned that when Mom came home too tired to brush her hair, I could do it for her. In a way, this gave me a sense of feeling needed. It was something I could do for my mother to show my love for her. In my mind, for her to get a haircut was to destroy all my security, my sense of being needed. They humored me for a few days, and when they thought it was over, Mom got her haircut. I looked at her when she came home and started yelling, "I knew it. I knew it. You don't listen to me. You don't care about me. I don't matter to you at all. I asked you not to do it, but you did it anyway." I ran out of the room and did not look at her or speak to her for several days. My unfocused, floating anger had attached itself to a small event and made it monumental. I had experienced a powerful case of runaway emotions. It became evident I had problems. The problems the family had not noticed or that they had ignored. Just because a child does not talk about his or her feelings or problems does not mean that everything is all right. It may mean the child does not understand the feelings or have the ability to verbalize them. And that was really my situation. Well, as a result of this, Mother became convinced that I needed a man's companionship. I needed his guidance and probably his discipline. She thought a stepfather would answer my need for a father in my life. She did not realize that no man could fill the place of my father. Just a male presence was not enough. I could never call anyone else dad. The triumvirate of wisdom and wise counsel was my grandmother, my unmarried aunt, and my mother. They would sit around the table and discuss the problem. When this Supreme Council met, I would find things to do that took me out of their sight, but not out of listening distance. One day the council was in session. The subject, maybe John L. needs a father. The discussion lasted a long time, and my emotions went up and down like an elevator, until I began to pick up words like fishing, vacation trips, teach him to build things, go bowling, and things like that. Whoa, I began to reconsider the idea of stepfather and maybe some advantages here I didn't think about. Mother had already been working on this project without my knowledge. It was not very long until she brought Leo home to meet me. Leo was an officer in the Merchant Marines. He was slender, handsome, and humorous. He was a stranger, but he looked impressive in his uniform and trim mustache, and he had a brand new 1940 Chevrolet. Wow. Well, a few months later, they were married. We moved to Port Arthur, Texas, and this meant a new father, new town, new school, new home, and a large group of new relatives. Well, I tried to be on my best behavior. I was afraid that if I messed up, Leo might leave like Daddy did. Well, there were many adjustments to make, and yet there were many happy moments as well. One of the adjustments was enlarging my world to accept my stepfather as a part of the family. Even though my relationship with him was never the same as with my father, I just couldn't do that. I could never call him Dad. I always called him Pop. The adding of another authority figure in my life had one major problem. Discipline. Whoa. Mother had always spoken to me when I misbehaved, and that corrected it. But my stepfather would get angry and whip me with his belt while he loudly scolded me. I would correct the offending behavior, all right, but I did it out of fear, not out of love. Not knowing all the new rules of behavior and activities which came with the new parent created tremendous stress in my life. There's no way to explain it adequately. Any violations of the unknown rules were met with harsh discipline. My stuttering increased. My greatest happiness came when Mother quit work and stayed at home. It was wonderful to come home from school and have her there to meet me, or come in from play and find her singing as she worked, or have her sit down with me and listen to my problems with sympathy, or to share my triumphs with happiness. And it was just wonderful. Wonderful to have my mother at home again. Beside that, she baked cherry pies. A new stepfather, a new home, a new town, and a new school can produce many problems. One of the problems was a confusion of roles. A good index to my confusion is an incident that occurred at school. It was during the first semester of school when my third grade teacher asked all of us to hand in two tests. I wrote my name on the first, and then I wondered, is that my name now? Or am I supposed to use my stepfather's last name like Mama does? In my confusion, I wrote my given name and my stepfather's last name on the second paper. When the papers were returned, the teacher held up my second paper and asked, who is John Burt? Does anyone know? I held up in my hand and said it was my paper. She asked me, why did I use another name? I told her I was not sure if I was supposed to use my nude father's name or my other one. And in front of the class, she began to lecture me on the facts of life concerning stepsons, stepfathers, and adoption. I was so embarrassed, I wanted to crawl out of the room while she was still talking to me. You see, it's confusing to children when they have all these changes come. They don't understand it, and they don't know how to react. They make mistakes, and it really is a deep, deep wound. A knot came in my throat, and I was so angry. I wanted to cry out, do you have to tell the whole class about it? I didn't want this mess to happen in the first place. But I gritted my teeth and did not speak. Then she asked, has your stepfather adopted you or not? I didn't even know what adopted meant. Was it something good or bad? Well, with my eyes still staring at the floor, I choked out, I don't know. Her parting statement was, will you find out and tell me tomorrow? Folks, I have not forgotten the pain of that incident in all these years. I'm 88 years old. My stepfather had concealed the fact that he was a problem drinker, almost an alcoholic, until after the marriage. He was fractious and verbally abusive when he had been drinking. World War II started in 1941 and food rationing began. And as the war pressure built on the merchant marines, his drinking increased. He was self-medicating. When he was drinking, he would come home and argue with my mother about me. He was very jealous and accused her of doing everything for me and not enough for him. Food was being rationed, and he accused her of giving me the best and saving the leftover for him. Well, I would hide when they would start their arguments. I'd feel very badly about being the cause of an argument. I did not actually understand how I'd caused it. I felt so guilty about being the problem. Since my presence seemed to create a problem, I wanted to disappear. I would retreat to my new hiding place, an overstuffed chair behind a stack of unused furniture stored in our unused living room. Leo's drinking increased. The arguments grew louder, and he would leave Mother weeping. Eventually, they obtained a divorce. Well, my mother and I moved back to my grandparents' home in Beaumont. However, their home was different now because of the war. My older uncle Aaron and my younger uncle Roy had joined the Navy. It had already begun to grow. I'd already begun to grow an emotional armor. An emotional armor plating. It began when the rejection from Leo was added to the rejection I was already experiencing from my father. People could not hurt me unless they were inside my armor. I did not regret leaving my stepfather or any of his family except one nephew. I also regretted leaving three of my neighborhood playmates. By the time I was 10 years old, I had become accustomed to being without a father, and I managed to put the desire to see my father to the back of my mind. And yet, the stuttering increased. Well, folks, it's continues to problems just crop up, new ones all the time. All things you don't expect when you get a divorce. But your children are there, and they don't have the resources and the emotional resources that you have. They don't have the mentality and the words to figure all this out, and they don't understand things that you accept and think nothing of talking about. It's hard. Please, if you love them, quit being selfish and try to stay together. Because after all, they didn't ask to be born, but you've got them now. Well, God bless you, and I hope this is helpful.